Blog Talk Radio.
Present the Ascension, Vulnerable Ascension with Marilyn Monroe. I'm your host, Matthew Bueno in Northern California, and I'm here with my co-host, Robin Alexis. Today we're going to be working again, talking with some of the spirits that have crossed over to the other side, especially for this young lady who has disappeared in February 9th, 04, and she was a Massachusetts student. College student, and she had a minor car crash on Route 112 and North Haverhill, New Hampshire. And so we're here today again, speaking with her spirit and helping to find out exactly what's been happening and find out some more information. Robin and I have been working with this individual in the spirit for the last couple months now, and we've been able to come in contact with her and talk with her. And so today, you know, I just ask that you have an open mind and be able to just hear what we're saying, you know, and you don't have to believe everything we're saying, but just as this is what we do. I'm a metaphysical teacher as well as I'm an energy worker, master energy worker, and I teach these classes, and this is what I do for a living. I've been doing this since 1989. Around there, and ever since then, I've met a lot of beautiful, wonderful people, which inspired me to drive up to and live here up in northern Mount Shasta, to where everything is really super pristine, the energy is pristine, the water's great, and, you know, great fishing up here, a lot of nature, and a lot of really cool energies up here, including, you know, we have the mysteries of Bigfoot, and we have the little people and the fairy people, and, you know, it's just a it's a matter of really learning how to really reconnect with your relatives, with the energy of the land, you know. I did a show yesterday with C.J. Miller on Blog Talk Radio Saturday on her show, and we did a channeling. And one of the things that the masters really tried to put out there is that this year, 2017, is where all of us, you know, as human beings, you know, we're one big family on this beautiful planet, is that we are here to really come together and with, you know, our partners, our masculine and feminine, ourselves, and also with another individual, that we start creating together a brand new paradigm for our future of our children. And so, you know, I just wanted to relay that to you that, you know, there's a lot of powerful things happening here in 2017. It's already been happening, and it's just a matter of where your mindset is. You know, it's super important to really realize that, you know, you are still in control of your life. You know, whether you know that or not, you know, what you think and what you believe and the energy you put into your life is what enhances more of what you create. So, and the universe is always listening. And so we're here today. You know, I'm here with Robin Alexis. I'm going to bring her on shortly. And today is Sunday the 8th. And so I today ask you to have an open mind again and just be, and for those of you listening now and those for you who are going to be listening later on, I just want you to be able to know that whatever energy that we bring in this moment will continue for you. Whether you hear it 5 years from now, it will still affect you and help you. So again, thank you for coming with us today. This is Matthew Bueno with Ascended Master Paranormal Ascension with Marilyn Monroe. So I'm going to go ahead and bring on Robin Alexis. Robin, are you with us?
Yes, thank you for having me, Matthew. And I do want to ask you, before I say too much about myself and some other things, if people want to speak during the show, what is the process that they do? Do they raise their hand somehow?
Yes, inside the chat room, there is a number that you called in, 646-564-9678, and you press 1, and when you call in there and you're listening, you press the number 1 on your phone, and it raises your hand, and there's a little emblem that comes up next to your name, and then I can see you, and then I can call on you, and then, you know, you can get you on the air with us.
So the reason why I brought that up is this is the last show that we'll be doing to help with the disappearance of Maura Murray. We have, as Matthew stated, been opening the conversation with her spirit. It started on November 11th, and the reason why we started getting information about what happened to her on that particular day is it was the first annual fundraising event day that Marilyn Monroe asked us to do for the veterans, and that obviously is Veterans Day. And one of the things that has come through is Maura has indicated to us that the man who took her life is a veteran, and obviously is a veteran who needs some help. And so we open the conversation. If there's anyone here who can get access to anyone who's, you know, going to be solving this case, Matthew in particular has channeled a phenomenal amount of detail that if you go back and you listen to what we've gotten, then you should have no difficulty in tracking the particular insights he's come through with and then finding out whether they were true or not and actually finding out what happened to Maura. Now, I do feel Maura here very strong. The past 3 days I've been feeling Marilyn. I am the Marilyn Monroe medium, and she is the one who spoke through me saying that she wanted us to start this first annual fundraising event for the veterans, and in particular, the nonprofit that Marilyn encourages people to donate to is called OperationHomefront.net. The reason why Marilyn picked that nonprofit is because she always wanted a home when she was a child, and she does still feel that the American dream is owning a home, and who but the veterans and their families she feels should have homes. One of the other legacies that Marilyn stated was she wanted us to help open other cold cases, and Matthew was gracious enough to start this radio show to help with that. And then, like we said, we've opened it up to Maura because we understood from a bunch of people that they would be involved in this radio show and they would speak up and begin to build the energy. So we'll see if they're here today in helping us work with Maura. Before we go into that, I do want to say that the lady and the gentleman of Mount Shasta, as Matthew was just speaking about, he and I both live here, and the mountain itself today is coming in very potently to assist in holding energy to not only open the field for the closure of what happened to Maura, but also with what happened to Marilyn Monroe and others. And so I can feel the mountain really showing up and the beings of the mountain really showing up to assist us. And that leads me to the other facet. Next week on Paranormal Ascension with Matthew Bueno and Marilyn Monroe, we're going to be communicating to trees. We have a lot of information about how, as we learn to communicate to trees, that not only is going to help us and the planet, but it actually can help solve cold cases. We'll talk to you more about that next week, but let's just stay really focused right now on bringing in the energy to assist Maura in any way, shape, or form. Now, Maura is coming through, and she's saying that the most difficult thing that she has experienced is getting humans to stay focused, to help them stay on track and be disciplined in bringing about the results that would give her family the answers that they need about what happened to her. And she says that this ritual of being focused, that we're being out-focused by the lower vibrational beings in humans, who they understand that that practice has to happen. So what they want to see a result of is happening more than the things that we claim we desire to see as outcomes. And that we have to understand that this isn't just wishful thinking, that we have to implement the actions necessary that are required to bring about 3D resolution of what happened to her in her body. And then Marilyn is bouncing back in here again. She says her take on this is slightly different than Moore's. That is true for Maura, and she respects Maura's position. But for Marilyn feels that there have been energies that have stayed on track in almost like a battle mode, in the sense that many people have tried to open her cold case, and then many, many more people have tried to keep it shut. So it's not for lack of interest in enough people that Marilyn's case isn't opened back up again. It's that there's so much at stake with those who are trying to keep quiet what actually really happened to her. So we have two things. We have the sense of an opposition frequency, and then we also have just plain tenacity and fortitude and zeal needing to be addressed in this particular radio show today, as we're working with these two deceased spirits. So to clarify a little bit more, Marilyn Monroe told us that one of her legacies was to help other cold case victims have their stories come out. Hence, Marilyn is here. That's why it's called Paranormal Ascension with Marilyn Monroe, is because her spirit is here assisting to bring attention to Moore's case and other cases as well. And again, she says that's part of her legacy, is to help these other cold case victims. So before we go into really dropping into the experience of opening space to communicate to Maura and see what else we can find out to help her, I want to share with people that Matthew Bueno is also a guest host on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. That's my show, which is also airs live out of Mount Shasta, California. We've been live out of Mount Shasta for 5 years now, and 12 years we've been out of also Seattle, Washington, and Santa Barbara, California, as well as on the East Coast out of New Hampshire. So let's call up all of that energy and open the fields to be of assistance to Maura, and then I'll explain more during the show about how you can get a hold of Matthew and I. So, Matthew, are you ready to see where we go with Maura today?
Yes. I'm having some weird technical things happening over here. I had a when spirits come around you, different things happen. And I had a candle over here to my left, and it caught on fire, and I was panicking trying to blow it out. It was like a flame over here. So I had to blow it out and take it out to the other room so it wouldn't smoke me out. And then my phone started doing some weird lines on it, and it's like, what is going on here? So, you know, what Robin says is the truth. You know, she speaks the truth when it comes to the spiritual awakening. You know, and just to let you know, just a little bit of my own background is that, you know, it's been my passion to be a bridge for families, to be able to contact their loved ones and to make sure that they're in the place that, you know, that they're in a good place, which puts the family at ease, you know. And a lot of times when, you know, because I know for me that if I crossed over and I was stuck between worlds, I would want somebody to help me find the light, you know, so I can keep ascending. And so that's why we came up with this radio show, because this is not only our experiences that we've had over the years of all these stories, and the people we're trying to help and their families, but also is to educate you a little bit more about what a spirit really is and what their energies are. And the other inspiration, ironically, is you know, all these paranormal shows that, you know, show all these psychics that go into these houses and or these restaurants or these places, and then they find the spirits, and then they don't do anything. They just, oh, yeah, you got spirits here, blah, blah, blah. Well, we thought so. And then what? So they leave them there? You know, and there's a place, a Hornbrook Cafe over in Santa Cruz. It's a restaurant. And they had Sylvia Brown come out there when I was living out there. And she went and found the spirits that were, you know, occupying that hotel / restaurant. And this restaurant is pretty unique. It has actually a creek running through the middle of the lobby. I think it's called San Lorenzo River. And it runs right through the cafe itself. And so Sylvia Brown went out there. This was about maybe, I don't know, 18 years ago. And she went out there. She found the spirits. And she says, okay, I got them here. Now, you know, what do you want me to do with them? And the owner said, oh, no, we just, you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, they're still here. And then she was paid to do this thing. And what bothers me is that she left them there because the owners felt that they had a sense of energy that drew people to this place. So they're actually using the spirits to bring this personality out of their establishment to attract people and patronage, you know, to come there and eat at their place and rent their rooms, which I find myself disgusting because, you know, I mean, those spirits, just like any of us, we want to keep going. We don't want to stop at one place and be at the bus stop for the rest of our, you know, rest of our time. You know, we want to move on, you know, like a butterfly. We want to turn into something else, transform. So that kind of inspired me to do this work, you know. So last night I had an experience where I had a woman call me up from she was in Louisiana, and she told me that she wanted me to talk to the angels. So I, as soon as I heard her voice, I saw the spirits in her house, and I said, you know, I think that before we do all that, I'd like to talk to you about the spirits that are in your home. And she started laughing, and she said, oh, my gosh, that's funny, because my dogs, once in a while, they would look upstairs, but there would be nothing there, and then they would bark at nothing there. So you can actually help me. I said, yeah. So we went in, and, you know, I took out with Archangel Michael and the rest of the Sunshine Boys. We went in there, and we helped three spirits to go away, two dog spirits to go away, and then one little boy who was actually running from me, playing hide-and-go-seek inside the house, who was jumping in and out of the sockets, the electrical sockets. And so we had to chase him, and it was actually kind of, you know, humorous, but he thought it was a game. You know, he thought he was still there, you know, and one side of his face was burned. And so he died, I guess, in a fire or something, and he ended up in this house. Or I didn't get the whole detail of the thing, but I was able to catch him and then pick him up and hold him so he can feel me, you know. And because there hasn't been any kind of touch or connection with him. So I was able to pick him up and hold him while he really felt my energy. And then Mother Mary came over, took him out of my arms, and then took him to the light. And so right after that, the woman started telling me that she could feel the house becoming lighter, you know. And so, and that's somebody who doesn't even, you know, her intention was to ask me about angels, and I did something completely different. And so, you know, and that's the way it works sometimes. So, you know, and it's very apparent that in this day and age, you know, there's a medicine man back in South Dakota. It's a mentor and an adopted father of mine. And he talks about, you know, the spirits on planet Earth and how they're putting a lot of things out of balance in our families and our relationships, mm-hmm. and how it's causing a lot of rift between family members. We're getting mad at each other for stupid little things, and then we don't talk to each other ever again because there's a lot of unsettled energies in the world. And so it's throwing everything off balance. So in his ceremony, I'm not going to talk too much about. It's a Sundance ceremony that we attend every year. And there's a sacred tree that is called the center of the universe. And then there's a third, he put a second, first tree in the center of the Ochoka or the altar. And then there's a second tree he has in the East Gate. And I know this is sounding a little bit like gibberish to you, but it's a ceremony to where we suffer for 4 days, no food, no water, to pray for the people on planet Earth, you know, and it's a sacred ceremony. It's called a Wiwawisipi sundown ceremony. And so this second tree, what it is that when we're calling in the spirits to do these prayers, you know, and sing all these songs and dance out there, we're also bringing in the energies of the spirits who are lost on the world to help to give them a door so they can go home. So this has been my path for quite some time. And I'll go just a little step further to let you know that, you know, I had an experience with Christ when I was 28. And Christ told me that he was choosing me to help those ones who are stuck between worlds to go home. And, you know, when you go in for a job interview, you have, like, questions, you know, and I just, for some reason, I didn't have any questions. It's like I already kind of knew what I was supposed to be doing. And so once in a while when I get intimidated by a spirit or an entity or a demonic energy, you know, I instantly go back to that time or that conversation and say, hey, remember this conversation? You told me this and this. And right when that happens, it seems like that energy just starts to dissolve in front of me. And then I can get in there and clear whatever is in there. And so this isn't, for me, this isn't a Hollywood thing. It's not something I'm trying to make a bunch of money. I'm trying to help these spirits go home so I can help families feel better about where their kin is. You know, and wherever it takes me, I'm open to that. But right now, that's my passion, and that's what I'm here to do. So I would like to make a prayer for all those families right now who lost a loved one or are getting ready to prepare for losing a loved one, and anyone who has been heartbroken by maybe a family member that was taken, that was murdered, that was taken from their family at a very young age, any babies that came into your life and left. And so I just like to make a prayer to the Creator that the Creator lays his hand down on your family to dissolve any conflict between each other and help you guys, help everyone to be able to come together in a sacred manner, to be able to see the truth and to be able to use one another and use the touch, use the love, use the understanding and communicate, you know, how you feel about these things and not leave the big elephant in the center of the living room and really talk about how you feel about these things and not to be afraid to reach out. You know, reach out to Robin or I or anybody else who does this kind of work. It's super important that we come together and have a better, deeper understanding about what's really going on in the planet. And the inner world and the outer world of ourselves and this planet itself and all the mysteries. So we ask Creator to lay your hand down upon these people who are suffering from any kind of heartbreak in that way to help people feel fulfilled and to have completion in their life so they're not guessing about what's going on with their loved ones. And I just ask the spirit world to be compassionate to those families who lost a loved one and to give them a dream and to show them where their loved ones are or show them a way, a path to find out the truth. So this is a little bit of a chant, I guess somebody you guys would call it. This is like a medicine song to help you guys have more, have more connection, more heartfelt feeling about, you know, how you feel today and to have a better understanding and more balance for yourself in this very moment. Mataki api, mataki asan.
Waka, 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 oh my.
Because I looked over and one of my guides, he's hopping around like a bunny, in tune with the rattle. So when I saw him, I almost started busting up because he was into it. You know, he's like jumping around like a bunny, just jumping, bouncing. You know, so I thought that was, and my hair started standing up. That's how I knew he was in the room. So I apologize for that. It just started making me laugh. All right. So anyways. Anyway, so I'm glad that you're all here with us today, and I just want to put that prayer out all to the people, to all the families today, and to bring a blessing to you in your life, and to extend this energy to you and your family, and to all the people you know, and to dissolve any conflict that is in the way of you finding and resolving your issues with finding out where your loved ones are. Matako api, matakiasin. Robin Alexis.
Yes, as you were chanting, quite a few things were happening. The one I'm going to go with is Charlie Tom Redhawk came through, and Matthew can explain more who that is. But he was showing me that the portal energy, where spirits who are in harmony with their coming and going, whether it's, you know, coming back in and having an experience in some sort of form or leaving, that those portals had been compromised from repetitive inappropriate timing of death, whether it was murder, war, satanic ritual, or even people taking, say, the ashes of someone who had passed and putting it in an inappropriate sacred place on the mountain, that all of these things had caused for these energies to malfunction. And as you were singing, chanting today, Matthew, Red Hawk came in and he was showing me how the portal was opening back up to joy, so that whether it was receiving life or releasing life, it was all in the frequency of joy within that portal energy. And then Mora came and she placed a basket at your higher self's feet with flowers and herbs in it to thank you for the ways that you have helped her.
Wonderful.
So that was the message from Lady Shasta and Red Hawk. So, and I'm feeling Mora like standing up closer here. She's wondering if anyone is here who's going to be talking with her today.
There is a person here from New Hampshire. Do you want me open that up?
She's saying yes.
Okay. And just, you know, just I'm going to just address really something really quick. Spirits on the other side, you know, they're very excited. When Mora first came to me, and she came to me, she always had her hand on her heart, and she was always telling me that she was really feeling that her dad needed to know that she's okay, that she's happy where she's at, she's with the guy, she's with her family, but also the one thing that she was really adamant about expressing to me was that she wanted to make sure her family was okay. And something about a ring, you know, that she was wanting to make sure that that the ring would get back to her family and her dad. And she was, that's one thing that she just really, really was adamant. Every time I'd ask her, how are you? She'd say, did you find the ring, you know, or did you talk to my dad? Or and I just, I don't know. I'm, you know, and just to be really super honest with you guys is that this is kind of new for me. I mean, I'm used to talking with spirits and having ceremony and helping the spirits cross over. But I've never had a long conversation with someone who's crossed over to where the point where we're trying to find out where she's at. So this is helping me too, working with Rob and Alexis, because it helps me to stretch my mind that much more and my energy to really feel into what the what she's asking, you know. And so I just ask you to be patient, you know, and just have an open mind again. And so we're going to open up the line right now to 603. The last four numbers is 5636.
Yes,
hello, you're
hello.
On the air with Robin and Matthew. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Kelly. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
I can, yeah. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. So it's great to be with you guys. Thanks so much for doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So
what,
I'm calling
what can we do
because,
for you, Kelly?
Well, I'm calling about Maura.
Okay.
I remember it was either the night that she disappeared or the following night. I was working at a local restaurant, and her fiance's mother came in just as we were getting ready to close and asked if, you know, it was too late for them to get something to eat or not. And, of course, you know, they came in. But that was the first that I had heard about Maura disappearing. And then years later, in one of the places I was working at, there was a house for employees that we all cleared out for the weekend so that the state police could come and stay with the cadaver dogs. And I live not too far away from where she had the accident, and I think of her often, especially this time of year coming up in February, because there are so many of us here that think about her and think about her family. So I just wanted to put my energy into the mix and, you know, maybe somehow help bring the message to her family about where she is and how she can be found.
Okay.
Really
Robin?
Powerful.
Yeah,
well,
that's really good.
It's amazing, Kelly. Your energy is very, very strong. And I actually want to, I can see Maura, and there are tears coming down her cheeks. I feel like I could start crying for her. The energy is so strong. She's so relieved to hear from you. She says she's been contacting you for a long time, Kelly, that from the time that her fiance and the mother had access to you, she became aware that you were open to her energy, and that she hopes that she hasn't kind of ridden your field a little too hard or caused any issues with you in your life. So as we're having this conversation between you and her, I just want to make sure that there's no, like, backwash anymore between her and you, so that, yeah, can you feel the energy shifting, Kelly, or not?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, I mean, I'm happy to play that role for her, because obviously it's brought her to you and to Matthew.
Yeah, that's true, Kelly. I do agree with you. And to be honest with you, Maura had never told me that she was engaged. So the piece you're bringing that she had a fiance is completely new to me, and it makes me wonder if that's part of why Matthew kept getting that there was a ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty amazing. Now, I do feel that Maura is getting a lot of white light energy around her, and she says yes, that this has to do with her light body. And she says that part of the problem that Maura thinks she's been having is that she's been psychically interwoven with individuals such as yourself as her only conduit to have communication, to try to, you know, get legs underneath this, to get things moving in the invisible realm. And so those frequencies, although they were necessary at one point in time, it's pretty clear to her and me that energy needs to be lifted into a higher vibration so that it's not in the psychic realm, it's more in the telepathic realm, which is the fifth dimension. When we're in the fifth dimension, it's higher self to higher self. Any communication that happens is going to cause no harm to us or anyone else. So it's a, like a pure tone. It's like the antenna is aligned, and it opens the field of communication not only for us to have with Maura, but for her to have with law enforcement, with her family, and things of that nature. Now, the other thing, as this is clearing up, and Maura is going back to the light body, she says this is a piece that she wants Matthew to look at, but she has a feeling that her light body never really kind of left her physical body. So even though she's been, you know, dead for a long time, and she's told Matthew and I very clearly where her body is located, and even though she's freed up at the level that she is, more freeing up of her would even help resolve the case even more. Because part of her energy has been staying in her body where it's buried because she was hoping it would lend to her body being discovered, and that she's realizing now that by utilizing different vibrations other than the type she had, you know, woven through you or even still attached to her physical body, by releasing those things, it will create more movement for the potentiality of things being resolved. So she's bringing that to Matthew to look into to see what he can do with that. There was something else she said, too. I'm going to see if I can recall it while Matthew begins to look at that information that just came in. I know she was trying to tell me one other piece, but I can't get it. So I'll just have Matthew do some clearing, and then maybe it will come back in again. So, Matthew, are you ready to look at this information?
The new information that Kelly just brought to us?
Yeah, Kelly and what Maura was saying in response to it.
Okay. Well, I've been talking to her for the last couple of minutes, and I was expressing to her that there's some kind of energy blocking us from looking at this right now. And for whatever reason, so I've been clearing that.
Me. Matthew, let me jump in here. I'm sorry, but this was the other piece that Maura said, and I think it's going to help us because you and I were getting information very clearly from Maura in the past, and then today, even when I got on the radio show with you, my third eye started to hurt really bad. Maura said that the man who killed her is either ill and getting ready to pass or has already passed, and that's also contributing to what's going on. So that was the other piece of information. So now I'll be quiet so you can talk.
No, it's okay. So I'm in my workshop, and I'm here with Marilyn Monroe, and we're bringing in Maura right now. And Maura, she's a little mortified because she's, you know, once we start talking about this, it's like she reminisces about what had happened. And so because she has, you know, she's with Marilyn Monroe, and she's like her mentor, her teacher, her support right now, her heaven buddy. And so they're there right now, and she is expressing to me, she's telling me that she's, when she can remember, the thing that she can remember the most is being blindfolded and being choked, and like someone was holding her back, and that she was trying to cry out, but she couldn't get her voice to come out. And so she says that she's buried in a place where there's a lot of horse manure. In fact, right now, we're just by talking to her, I can actually smell it in my own nose, the manure. And she says that because of the weather, her body is becoming more revealed. And so it might be that, you know, that. So what I want to do right now, instead of just focusing in on what she's doing, I'm going to ask the spirits to come in and ask them to give Kelly, the law enforcement people, the insight about where she is so they can help her and find out, because there's a lot of clues where she's buried and a lot of clues related to the man who did this. I'm going to go into the man's high self by going into the contract room and calling Archangel Michael to get the man who did this to her and bring his high self into the room. Now, this is a little different for a lot of you. I don't think you've ever heard anything like this before, but if you have, A contact room is a place where you go and release karma, release voodoo, curses, anything that has happened to anybody from generations of people and families. So I'm going to go in the contact room right now with Archangel Michael, and we're going to go seek out this man's high self, because the spirits know who it is. You know, everyone knows who it is except for the people in third dimensional world. So I'm kind of tired of just playing games. I just want to find out who this is so we can get down to the bottom of this. So I'm going to ask Archangel Michael if we get the person's high self. And right now I'm standing in front of him, and he is, like you said, he's in between worlds. Looks like he has cancer, or he's suffering from something. His face is like in and out of the world. It's like he's getting ready to cross over. His energy is super gray, which means that he's already decided to leave. And one of the aspects that I'm picking up on about this man is that either he was a priest or somebody who was ordained as a priest, where he was involved with a lot of people in a congregation. And right now, as I'm saying that to him, all of you right now and saying it to him so he can hear me, he's turning to the side as if he doesn't want to hear that. He doesn't want to hear that I know who he is and I can see him. And he's kind of like closing his eyes really tight, really shut. And I'm going to find, see where the hospital he's at. It looks like north of New Hampshire, let me see if I can get some nautical miles. Archangel Michael, could you give me more clarity about what this means, what we're doing here?
I think,
yeah.
I got it.
Is he
in the Veterans Hospital in White River Junction? Vermont,
yes, that's exactly.
Yeah,
Vermont.
That's, I'm getting a really big yes on that, that he's in the VA hospital in there.
Okay. And so as I'm talking to him, I'm going to go into his brain with Archangel Michael and see if we can exfoliate where the information is about, and just let him know, hey, you're getting ready to cross over. You might as well give it up. You know, might as well just tell us where this person, what you did. What he's doing right now, I can feel him weeping, and he's saying that Moro's not the only one. Okay? And I think that was something we found out before, too.
Yeah.
Because there's three other bodies buried by Mora, next to
Tarleton Lake.
Yeah, the lake. Yeah, this next to the lake by the rock. I don't know what that means, by the rock. So let me see. I'll find out more information by Archangel Michael. Can you give me some more clarity about where this guy is and who he is and more information? Just more, whatever we can get from him. I know. Okay, so one of the things that's happening is because Archangel Michael is with him, he's apologizing about everything he's ever done, and so that's great. But, you know, and I'm trying to have compassion for both about what's happening here, but at the same time, I just want to get through all that and just get down to the bottom line here. If we can get in there and just talk to him a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I feel like he's negotiating. My sense.
Yeah,
is
exactly,
that...
exactly. He's trying to. If I do this, can I go to heaven? Will God forgive me? Blah blah blah.
Matthew, I'm sorry to keep jumping in, but he's saying that what he's negotiating is he wants to know if he fesses up about Mora, will that be like a surrogate healing for all the people, not only the other women that he killed, but for all the people he killed in the war. Can, like, this just wash his soul? Can he be forgiven for everything? That's what I heard him asking for.
Okay. All right. And I'm bringing in Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, and some of the other guardian angels, and they're saying yes to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, and as a human, I'm just going to be straight up. I wouldn't forgive him. You know, I'm a man and I'm a father, and I'm kind of angry at this guy for what he's done. But at the same time, I understand that the angels and compassion is something we're supposed to. And I'm still learning. You know, I'm still young, and I'm just being honest and being open to that, and just. I'm just trying to get past that anger, and so I can get into the real feeling of that energetics of what's going on. And so the angels are telling him yes, you know, and so he's starting to let go of his body right now as we're talking to him. And he hears me. He hears what I'm saying, and he's mm-hmm. looking right at me, and he knows that, you know, how I feel fierce about this, you know. I have fierce love for children. I have fierce love for people. So I just, you know, and I'm looking right at his eyes, and his eyes are almost already dead, you know, so I'm mm-hmm. trying to get out all this information for him before he crosses over. And it looks like I'm going to get a time frame. My Master Gautami says he has about 2 weeks to live. So we got plenty of time to talk with him and to figure out where the bodies are buried. He says at his home, there's the digging supplies, the where he used to dig the holes. And so I'm going to ask him on the map, can you give me GPS-wise where in New Hampshire? Okay, he says he lives on the border of New Hampshire and the border. I don't know what the border
mm-hmm.
is.
Yeah, that makes Matthew.
Okay, I don't, yeah. As I'm not from there, I don't know anything about New Hampshire. So I don't know what the border line is, the border of, he lives. He said I live on the borderline. What's that?
Haverhill and Woodsville are right bordering the Connecticut River, which separates
okay.
Vermont from New Hampshire.
Okay. So he says in my garage in the corner, he has a box full of all the things that he's collected from all the bodies, all the people that he's harmed. He's kept some of the, he kept the ring. He has the ring there. He says he has the ring in the box. He has some of the other trinkets and things that he's taken from his victims in a box in the corner of his garage underneath some kind of rag or towel or something in the corner with some other pictures of his fallen foes, fallen friends from the war. So that's the information I got. And what's happening right now with him, too, is that he's actually becoming helpful instead of against me, which is
mm-hmm.
cool.
Yes.
And so I'm just going to open up the channel just a little bit more, Robin, so maybe you can get detailed, but I can't.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. He's also reminding us about the watch, and both Matthew and I saw that he had a particular type of older type of watch. Maybe Matthew can describe it better. It's a gold watch, the face of it scratched, and
scratched,
he had this
yeah.
really sick way of being a predator, meaning he would only kill someone that showed up in his field. He wouldn't, like, go out and scout something. But when he would get them, he wouldn't kill them right away. But when he did, he would become very aware of the time. And during the day, he would look at his watch, and he would remember who he killed and where, and then he buried them all in the same place. He's also wanting me to, because that watch is going to be important when they find it. He also wants us to remind ourselves that we both received that he has a Curious George tattoo. We both got it was on his right forearm. He's saying that Matthew, you got that he'd been injured in the war in his left shoulder, and he may have a scar over there. And also, Matthew, he's reminding us that you received that he hung her necklace in the tree, which is actually why we're talking about trees
yeah.
next week to help in solving cold cases, is because if someone looks up, they will see that tree is there. And also, it could be that the manure that you're seeing is maybe somebody went out in that area horseback riding and a horse pooped there. You know, like, I'm not sure if, you know, how much horse manure is there. I can see the horse manure, but I'm wondering if either somebody was out there hiking or snowmobiling or on their horses. I mean, I don't know the Lake Tarleton area enough, Kelly. Maybe you do. There's a logging road that goes out around the side of it. Is that correct?
Are you talking about Lake Tarleton now or Mountain
yeah.
Lake?
What's the other lake, Lake Tarleton, or what's the other one?
Mountain Lakes.
We thought it was Tarleton before, so, I mean, maybe that's going to change, but...
I know Tarleton pretty well, and I apologize because I haven't listened to the rebroadcast. I'm just sort of jumping in.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's
I'm sorry
okay.
as I'm having to repeat stuff. But I do know, Tarleton is really 10 minutes from my house, so I know the area quite well, so keep going, and I'm just taking notes right now.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Matthew's getting
Kelly,
information now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kelly, can I ask you a question? When we first did this, when we first contacted Maura, She was describing to me by the rock in the lake, well, there's a lot of like where kids have spray painted the rocks out there. There's like graffiti on the rocks. There's a she says that there might even been like devil worshippers or people that have done like Wiccan or something out there. You know, and when we think of devil worshippers, you know, sometimes it's people who are doing things that we don't know what they're doing or understand what they're doing, so we automatically give them the worst devil worshippers. But she says that there is some kind of black magic happening out there where she's at. And my feeling right now that I'm getting from what she said about that is like it's almost like that's like the block, that the wall that we're trying to get through to find out where exactly where she's at. It's almost like a, you know, whenever you take, when you get a toothache, you got to put that stuff on your tooth and it numbs it. That's the feeling I get whenever I go to this place. There's this like numbing vibration, like pushing me away. So what I'm going to do is one of the things that we do is that I'm going to encapsulate that energy and then move it out of the way and then see what's really going on here. Okay.
And
so as we did that.
Yeah, that's happening. I can see that. And also now the mountain Shasta, the energies here are lending themselves to you to remove that blockage frequency so you can see better.
Okay. Yeah. So instead of being there, I'm gonna go take an aerial view. So I'm going to look down from the sky into the area and just see if I can see. So there's a road that goes into almost by the lake. I keep getting this vision of this red barn with some fence around it, but I don't know what that means. I just, you know, when I get a vision, I got to look at it and just understand it. But let me go take another aerial view. And there's a road, there's a highway, and then a dirt road next to it, and then another road that tees off of that. And it goes into by the lake, and it kind of goes around the lake to the left, and then it goes to some kind of trail, and there's like it forks off. One goes to the right, one goes to the left around the lake, and it looks really marshy, and almost feels very cold. I guess you guys have snow over there, and so I'm going over to the left here where I'm being drawn, and that's where that numbing energy is. Like it's still feel it, but it's like above me now, so I'm walking underneath it, and I'm going, and I'm taking Archangel Michael and Raphael with me, because I don't know what I'm up against here, so it feels, I can smell something here, almost like something that died. It could be an animal, it could be where animals are buried, maybe people bury their cats or their dogs there, next to this real pristine lake, but that's as far as I got. I got a dead end now. I don't know. There's like a wall. I don't know what it is. Robin, can you see past where I'm going?
Well, when you talked about the animals, it reminded me what Lady Shasta said at the beginning of the show, that there'd been some satanic ritual. So I feel like in addition to the four females that are buried there, there is some sort of ongoing death of animals. And we've also had a pretty consistent experience with smell there, and then different things being used to try to block the smell. We had gotten before that this individual may have like a septic cleaning business or some kind of a garbage route or something, and that maybe had used some sort of chemicals to block smells. And then obviously we're seeing like the horse manure or dead animal smell to block it also. Actually, I can now see, it looks like Mora standing up right at that location. And she's saying, this is the part of me that needs to go be with my light body. And she feels like she's part of the block, because by her still staying there in the hopes of being found, she's actually contributing to the energy that's blocking her from being found, Matthew. Does that resonate?
Yeah, it resonates, yes.
Okay,
I can
so
see
that
her
would
standing there too. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's that light body thing. And Kelly, are you picking up anything on this too? Because I know you're very psychic also.
Well, in terms of any kind of satanic or, you know, whatever dark energy ritual, I would be more inclined to think Mountain Lakes more than Lake Tarleton. But I will say Lake Tarleton, right by the public beach, before you walk down to the public beach, there is a red barn at the top of that hill where everybody parks, and there are two horses that are
okay.
Kept.
Well, we've very consistently gotten Tarleton Lake, so you just confirmed it. Thank you for that.
Okay.
And the other thing, Kelly, I've been getting is you may know or know someone who knows who this person is who killed Maura.
That's what I'm feeling. And,
okay. I think that part of the reason why you actually came on this call and didn't participate in the others is that the energy's freed up enough for us to, and actually Maura's coming in even stronger, and she's saying that when her fiance and his mother went into that restaurant, she knew that you knew, and that's also part of why she's hung around you, and also, you know, knowing that it would get to other people like Matthew and I who could assist in this. So, Matthew, is this information resonating to you too?
It is. It's a little spotty for me.
Okay.
But yeah, I've got the red barn now and the horse's manure, so I'm trying to, I'm a detective. I like to watch CSI, all those movies. But you know, it's like maybe the smell, maybe she's very close because I can still smell it in the air, even with the snow on the ground. So it could be that I'm downwind with her or upwind with her, you know, and it's carrying, the smell is carrying. Because it doesn't feel like it's around me, like I'm in it. It feels like it's like I can smell it. It's in the air, like being next to a cow farm where they a dairy farm, and crossing in your car, you can smell it. Everyone rolls up their windows, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of smell I got right now. It's just that
me
really
too.
Like
same
a farm
thing.
Manure smell. So, yeah, and that's as I'm saying that, Maura, she's pointing to the ground. That's where I am. That's where I'm at. That's yes. She says she's excited. You know, yes. That's exactly where. That's I. And so, okay, Kelly, when did she disappear? Was it the summertime? Was it the?
No, it was. I believe it was February.
It was
February.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So no, I'm just asking because a lot of times girls wear a lot of like rings on their toes. She had, and she's telling me that she had her toes are being shown, are coming out of the ground.
I see that. Yeah.
And she has a toe ring on, and so I'm not sure if that's her toe ring or the other one, and she's just pointing down like that's where I am, you know, and so I don't.
I want to say, just to run it by you, that where she disappeared and where Lake Tarleton is about a 20-25 minute drive, you know, through some, you know, not some back highways, back roads.
Yeah. Yeah, that fits with what the information we were getting about why she got into the truck with the guy and what he did with her, Kelly. So that's very helpful information.
Okay. Well, I feel like I need to go.
I'm not
how you guys are feeling. Is there anything else that I need to?
I think that actually, Kelly, I think that's really important. Let's just have Matthew and I take a moment and make sure your energy is completely released from whatever unconscious contract you had with this spirit of Maura Murray, so that you can be free and she can. Yeah, that feels much better. Did you feel that shift, Kelly?
I did, and I'm
good.
Almost. Fine to drive to Lake Tarleton. I'm not going to, but certainly not at night. But I will be driving by there within the next couple of days. My husband drives by there every day.
Okay, so let's open it up so it doesn't come to you or through you, but goes. The information gets to where it needs to go to solve the case, Kelly. So you can be free to live your own life with your own family. Okay.
And thank you guys so much. This has been a phenomenal experience.
Well, thank you,
right.
Kelly. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly.
I'll continue to listen offline.
Okay.
Bye.
Wow, that was a really a big joy having Kelly on here. It just, you know, it just really helps with resonating and validating some of the energies that we've been feeling. And I just wanted to say thank you again, Kelly, for having the courage to come on the radio with us and to look at this, you know. And this is something recently that's been happening is that, you know, ever since Robin and I have been working with the Ascended Masters and working with the spirits who are across between worlds, is that we've been getting a lot of visitors lately. You know, they've been coming up to my door and walking across my windows, and my hair's been standing up, and which is great because it tells me that whatever we're doing, we're making a difference. And we noticed, Robin, you sent me something the other day about they reopened her cold case file,
mm-hmm.
you know, after, you know, at the work that we've been doing. So we're doing something that's creating, you know, that's regurgitating some of this energy. So, you know, people are tired of this happening. We're actually standing up for each other and making sure that we can find a way to, you know, find a way to find closure for the families. So I just want to say thank you again, Kelly, for that, and to the spirit world and for everyone that's here helping us to do this. Is there anything else you want to add to that, Robin?
Yeah, Maura keeps, like, pounding her chest like Tarzan, and she says it's because she still wants to be released from the body, that she's been holding this energy for a really long time, obviously through Kelly, maybe through some other people, through her body. She didn't do it just for herself. She did it for the other three girls that are buried next to her. And then, of course, Marilyn was willing to help her. So the camaraderie, the sisterhood, whatever you want to call it, on those who have crossed over is pretty tight. And she's saying that it's important for us to stay in our interrelationship that brings about resolution through harmony also, and to continue to raise our consciousness so that we do create resolution through harmony instead of resolution through conflict. And actually, Maura's even speaking about the veteran from Iraq who evidently had post-traumatic stress syndrome who opened fire at the Fort Lauderdale, Florida airport on Friday. And she says that what she's brought out with her death, what her legacy is to bring awareness to the veterans and to this invisible wound that they have, and then to see the beyond the battlefield wounds that are affecting our communities in ways that we haven't even begun to measure. So the same way that Marilyn Monroe has her legacy, clearly Maura has hers. And Maura is also stating that she trusts that her case will be solved. She thinks it's a direct result of her communication with Kelly and Matthew. She says that she knows that she's been communicating through me and some other people for quite a while, but that it didn't get the legs underneath it that it's gotten since she was able to align with Marilyn Monroe on November 11th, 2016, into today, January 8th, 2017. So before we close this show, I do want to remind people that you can book a session with Matthew or myself. You can call Bob to do so. His number is 530-859-2499. He books sessions for Matthew and I. Or you can book a session with either Matthew and I on my website, robinalexis.com. You go into the Mystic Store, and you can simply do it online. Or, as I stated, you can call Bob. The next class that Matthew and I are co-teaching is the Mystic Radio Institute Level 1 Evolutionary Class. It will start March 30th, that is a Thursday, and it's going to start at 6:30 Eastern Time, 3:30 Pacific Time, because Matthew and I are creating a class that will be good for East Coast people. That's why we're starting it at 3:30 in our afternoon, 6:30 in the evening. For people who don't know, when you sign up for that class, again, either in the Mystic Store on my website, robinalexis.com, or call Bob, 530-859-2499. It is an 8-week series consecutive class. You will receive an MP3. Matthew and I have very pointedly decided to teach very, very small classes. When we first started out, we were teaching classes with over 20 people on the call, and we found for us that didn't honor our integrity as teachers. We wanted to have smaller classes, so therefore they book up pretty quickly. So if you're getting the heart message that it would serve you to have teachings with us to learn how to be empowered to, you know, manage your own gifts, we highly encourage you to take classes with us or book one-on-ones if that's of service to you. Now, Maura's coming back in. I can see her holding Marilyn's hand, but she's kind of like still in your workshop, and then I see her still on location where her body is buried, and then I see her, you know, in my own vision. So the energy is still too fragmented, and I think before we close this show in the way that we've been serving her, Matthew, if you could kind of tidy this up and put the bow on it and then give it back to God and let God take care of the details of solving this case.
Did you say what? Hold the ball?
Yeah, we're going to close the case with more in terms of what we're doing and trust that God will take care of the details.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go back to my workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing right now is, as you were talking, I'm staying with Marilyn Monroe and Maura. And, you know, what blows me away is sometimes when you're looking at her, you have your own visualization and paradigm dimension that you're talking with her, and then I have my own dimension that I'm speaking with
mm-hmm.
her. So it amazes me that that is taking place. So they're standing next to the globe, and they're she's still trying to tell me where she's at. And so I'm just going to throw out this information real quick. She says that there's a dead-end road where she is. I said that earlier. I said I found a dead end, and I didn't know why I was saying that. And she says, yes, there's a dead-end road, and there's a path from the fence of the dead-end road to the right, and that's where the rock is. She says, that's where the rock is. That's and between the barrier of the dead-end road to the rock, it's about 55 feet, 60 feet. And she says, right there, there's an incline or a ditch where there's leaves, and it's like a lot of the autumn leaves covers up, you know. And then when the foliage falls on the ground, it smells like manure or it smells like something deteriorating, like a deep, you know, area where there's a lot of leaves. People even dump their garbage there sometimes, like their refrigerators or their tires or things that they don't want to go to the dump for. And there's some garbage out there, she says. And behind the garbage down there, down in the ravine, she says, that's where we're buried.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to just let that go and just say thank you, Maura, for coming in today. And I'm praying with God and to the masters and with you and together with Marilyn Monroe and Robin Alexis that, you know, we find a way to find you and we find a way to find closure for you in this life and really help your family to get, you know, through their grieving time and to find peace, you know, with your passing. So I said, just thank you. I'm just going to give her a big hug. Okay. And so, and then I'm going to go ahead and give Marilyn Monroe a hug and just let the spirits know and the masters know that this is, we're going to end this for here right now. And just, Maura, you can come back anytime you want. You visit me anytime. It doesn't matter, day or night. You can wake me up. I don't care. You know, so thank you again, Maura, for coming in today and for being a beautiful, beautiful spirit and for coming in here and really bringing information out to the audience and to, you know, to help us to be get better at doing this for you and for others who are in the same position. So I'm going to open up the doors of the elevator and I'm going to ask her to go ahead and step inside with Marilyn Monroe and close the door behind her. Okay, so as they're leaving, I'm just going to open up and clear the energy of anything that is attached to what we have said tonight and dissolve it, to clear it, and to make this a brand new energy. So when we come into it again, that the energy has been building from this day forth to help us with the clarity and understanding and to find the destination of where this woman is buried along with the others that need to be found as well. So I say thank you to the Creator and thank you to the Masters for the opportunity to be in service today. Mataki Asim. Okay, Robin, is there anything else you want to say?
I see Red Hawk, and he has the two spirits of Maura and Marilyn in that joy portal he was talking about that your first song reset. And I see them going home, like going home to God, and he's escorting them. And I feel in my heart more than I ever have that there will be closure for more Murray. Thank you, everybody, for being with us today. And next Sunday, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, we will be communicating with trees and talking about how you can learn to communicate with trees. Thank you.
Yep. Just to let you guys know, too, who Red Hawk Tom is, Charlie Tom, is that he was the medicine man here in Mount Shasta. And, you know, we say Red Hawk Tom because we don't like to say his first name because we don't want, like, to try to keep his spirit here. So, you know, Red Hawk is was a brilliant, beautiful medicine man. And he was all about his personality. He was always about, he was a coyote. Always joking, always laughing, always making fun of people. He would say that he was a liar, a thief, and a cheat, you know. And that's how he would enter the lodge. You know, I'm a liar and I'm a liar and I'm a cheat and I steal things. And so he always likes to puff people up. He would say, you know, he would put this root that we have up here is called ichneous, and it was a medicine that he would put the ichneous part, the plant part, in the center of the stone people in the sweat lodge, and then it would catch on fire. And the first thing he would say is that, okay, this is the light in your body and your spirit that's lighting you up. And then he'd say, I'm going to go down into the bottom of my medicine bag and pull out all the medicine from Dr. Rock. And then he would pull out just whatever was in his bag, and you would smell thumbcot, which is like a minty flower, a lavender thing, and then you would smell ichneous, and you would smell like different eucalyptus leaves. You could smell sage, and it was just beautiful the way he would do it. And then after he would throw all this medicine on the stones, we would just sit there and cough, and then he would say, "Roll your eyebrows around, roll your eyeballs around, and let this, you know, cleanse you on the inside out." And then he would say to the firekeeper, "Hey, I'm cold. Bring in more stones." And then it's like, "What?" And there's like already 40 stones sitting in the center of the lodge. So he was just out to really raise your vibration. He wanted you to be alive in whatever you did. He wanted to bring life to things that were dead inside you, to bring light back. So I think that's one of the reasons why he's here with Amara, because he knows me, he knows my songs, and he's my cola, like my friend. He was my... We called him Uncle Charlie because he was Uncle Charlie to everybody. But he was more to me like an icon to me. One of the gifts that I gave him was I gave him a star quilt, which is like a great honor between Native Americans. We give a star quilt to an elder. Represents that they have a title, a stature of some sort, to where they have been making a difference. He's made movies in Hollywood. If you look up, go to YouTube and go to Charlie Red Hawk Tom, you'll see some of the plays that he's done as the Traveling Coyote, a shadow theater thing he did, and then there's songs with him, and he talks about Mount Shasta and the water, and he always wears like a little coyote pelt on top of his head when he's sitting on top of the mountain. He's introduced me to Bigfoot. You know, we went out in 2009, we went out to a place called Spirit Lake, and it's Tom Lake. It's up here, up in Northern California, over at the Marble Mountains, and it's a 6-mile walk inside. So we had, you know, 40-pound packs, and we all went in and camped out there for a week, built a sweat lodge, and then we prayed every night and every morning, and caught fish, and we sang to Bigfoot every night, and Bigfoot would sing back, you know, and it was just this beautiful thing that he created for our community. He was he had a branch, a community called the Earth Circle, and Earth Circle was a nonprofit organization here in Mount Shasta where we would get communities to pay for him to go and visit and do some different ceremonies down in San Francisco, all the way down to LA, you know, all the way over to New York City. So he got around, you know, and he made a huge impact on, and people still talk about him. People still bring up his name. People still sing his songs and tell his stories, which is beautiful, you know. And that's the kind of mark that we need to look at, you know. That's the kind of imprint that we need to leave behind as a people, to really leave something that, you know, people are going to remember us that how we continued for that health and healing to keep happening for, not only for ourselves, but for our children. You know, he was a role model for a lot of kids, and a lot of people looked up to him, and he left his mark in a lot of different places. So I just want to honor him up, And so the language is Yota Pahe Feba Nakorana Nakistiwiti, Red Hawk Tom, Kornaniyada Nanikipa Nanikuskan, Yota Pakriva. So I just said that, you know, I want to thank our relative, Charlie Red Hawk Tom, for being here and for coming in and helping us. And I also want to thank you to all my relatives and to all my sisters and my brothers for today. So I say, again, thank you for joining us today. I'm going to say Suvanik, which means catch you on the flip side in Karuk. Suvanik. And so I say thank you and see you next Sunday when we start talking to trees. All right. Take care. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.